This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Thank God it's Friday. I mean, Freestyle Friday. And I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 14th, episode 1439. Brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there mumbling.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. I woke up this morning, Jamie, to something pretty cool that I didn't know about. And it was done by one of our listeners.
So it's not an alarm, because that's what I wake up to every morning.
You know, I don't think I've set an alarm in years, because I wake up so damn early anyway. It doesn't matter.
Magic of living on the East Coast when this show is at 9 a.m.
That's true. That's true. You do have to set an alarm. But I woke up Linda Gettig, who I've met many times at Road to the Horse. She has been there, and she's from Utah. And she went to a party. But the party was at a certain ranch of a guy who owns a certain company called Redmond Equine. So Redmond rocks, right? Well, she met some celebrities at this party, and one of them was Julie Goodnight, of course, a regular guest on all of our shows since we started 9 years ago. So Julie had a message for us.
Hey, Glenn, Julie Goodnight here, and I'm actually here in Heber City, Utah, attending the launch party of this great new video. You should check it out. It's go to facebook.com/RedmondEquine and check out the video they just launched. It's really funny. It's a satirical look at a horse family in the U.S., so I hope you check it out. And hey, I want to be on your radio show again, so give me a call, brother.
That's great.
Julie's great. She's a lot of fun. And so I don't know if you, I know Jennifer did, because I heard her belly laughing in the other room. I posted the video on Horses in the Morning. You can also find it at Redmond Equine's Facebook page. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It's very, very cute.
If that doesn't win the video award at AHP next year, my God, it is one of the best, funniest videos. And the actress that played the main character was superb. I don't know who she was, but I don't even know she was an actress, but she was great. The whole thing was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
If you haven't watched it, please go take a look at it. It's one of the funniest promotional videos to come out in a long time. And thank you to Julie for doing that. She also had another message, was pretty much the same thing from Mike Mumford, who of course is the, works for Redmond Equine, and he sent us
a message. Thanks,
too.
Linda. You're very nice.
Out there doing reporting with her phone and her video camera.
Fantastic.
And it looked like a beautiful place, by the way, that the guy who owns Redmond Equine has. It's just beautiful. Well, that was a fun way to start the morning. Jennifer, what do we got on today's show on Friday?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we will break from the gate with the author of a book called Real Cowboys. That's Kate Hoefler. And she's going to tell us about what it takes to get your book published. I know there are many, many equestrian and aspiring authors out there in the audience. So she's going to tell us how to get it done. And then we have Dueling Horse Headlines trotting down the center line of the show, and Really Bad Ads drops the mic in a pile of free manure. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie is a good luck out to Kendra Gale, one of our good listeners up there in Canada, and her little mini named Duke. They are competing at the Calgary Stampede today. She posted pictures this morning of them heading in, and there was a line of three or four minis pulling carts and wagons, and the size of the stadium is like football size. And they're heading into the stadium. It was so cute to see these little tiny minis heading into this stadium. But I don't know exactly what the competition was, but good luck to Kendra. She listens all the time and she loves her minis up there in Canada. So that's kind of neat.
I'm going to give you just a brief background on the day that I had yesterday, which was a day with the veterinarian, which I'm going to talk about coming up after our first guest. My air conditioner broke in Phoenix. It was 109 degrees yesterday. So the technician was supposed to come between 10 and 2, of course, came at 2. So, and it broke the day before. It broke Wednesday night. So I'm out without an air conditioning. Got the vet here. Just was a crappy day. So I was trying to find a bright spot in the day. So I'm going to tell you a little story about something that didn't happen, but could have, which is I'm like reaching into the depths of something positive in my day yesterday. Are you ready, Glenn?
I'm ready.
So I'm out yesterday morning and I'm feeding the horses.
I have my finger on the play button just in case it's needed.
It's just the thing that happened that didn't happen. So I was going to go in the chicken coop and collect all the eggs. And I thought, as I'm going, if you make a left, you got the chicken coop and then pink stall is straight ahead. So I'm about to make a left into the chicken coop, which has a really short roof and you kind of have to duck under and then go in. I hit my head on it all the time. So I was about to go in and do that. And I noticed that pink needed some water. So I'm like, I'm going to go give Pink some water first. So I walk into Pink's stall to give her water. And that side of the chicken coop is chain link. So I can see inside the coop from watering Pink's stall. So I'm casually watering Pink's stall. And I turn on the hose and I look into the coop because I can now see inside it. And right in that part that I'm about to duck under the door, probably hit my head, is about a 10-pound rat on the wall, clinging to precariously perched on a tiny little rat, like two cylindrical pipe. And you can't see it from the outside, but if I would have walked in there and hit my head under, or just even under the door, do you know what the chances of that thing falling on my back of my neck and going down my shirt would be?
Pretty good.
Really good. And it was a 10-pound male rat. I could see the cojones on that thing.
Oh, well, if you could see that, that's a big rat.
It was huge. It was huge. And it was obviously not scared because I'm like, girls, come over here. And everybody came over and looked at the rat while I'm filling up Pink's water bucket. And everybody. And so finally I'm like, well, I'm just going to spray it. So we have a pest control company that comes out and puts bait out. So obviously this rat was not 100%. After probably eating some of that bait. So I just sprayed him with the hose. I like lifted the hose up and sprayed him. And he ran and he got scurried down the wall, went into Thor's stall. Thor freaks out. He runs right under Zeus's leg. Zeus freaks out. And then he runs off into the woods. It was like, have you seen the movie, The Princess Bride?
Yes.
Because if you have, you know what R-O-U-S-S is. Rodents of unusual size. That is what I had. That could have fallen down on the back of my neck. I have the vet coming. I have no air conditioning. I found the bright spot. It didn't happen.
You know, I can't even play that girl. Let's just go with this.
Oh, God. I think I would have died.
Was he big enough to actually eat a chicken?
I think he was hunting in the coop. he had like a knife and a fork and like a little bib around his neck. And he was like sitting there waiting for probably me to come in.
I got the creeps right now. I really did.
You got the creeps. Dude, you know how close it was to falling down the back of my shirt? 10-pound rat? Rodents of unusual size? You know what happens in the fire swamp, okay? My coop was the fire swamp yesterday. Hello. It's awful. Okay.
I haven't seen a rat in a long time here. You know, we have every other weird large critter, but I haven't seen a rat lately, thank God.
Oh, my God. This thing was like the grandpappy of all of them. It was so huge. Oh, I have goosebumps.
I was trying to think of a question of the day from that we could post on Horses in the Morning. Like,
well, you know what it is what amazed me is there's all these teenage girls, because we all ride at 6 o'clock. So everybody's at the barn at the same time, 6 a.m., because it gets too hot here to do anything later on. So what amazed me was there was 4 girls between the ages of 15 and 30. And I'm like, hey, you guys want to see a rat? And they're all like, yeah. And I swear, if it wasn't a horse girl, I'd have been like, y'all want to see a rat? They'd be like, ew, no, that's disgusting. And all of them were like, I want to see it. So horse chicks are just different. Like, they were just tougher than most, you know? Like, so the question would be like, what do you find okay that your non-horsey friends would not? You know, something like that.
Oh, that's a good question. We'll post that in there. Remember that. Okay. What do you find? Yeah. You know, you talk about this article I found just epitomizes what you just said. In Presque Isle, Maine right now, they are having an argument with the city council over the Amish. 3 guesses what the argument's over?
3 guesses. I'll go with 1, and it's probably poop.
Poop. Yes, you are correct. You win the prize. Horse poop in the streets is causing the residents of Presque Isle, Maine to be very upset. And they've gone to a city council meeting demanding that something be done about it. And this has been an issue in, you know, towns and cities all across America. I grew up in Lancaster County. I didn't know there was a place without horse poop on the road. I thought everywhere had horse poop on the road, because I grew up in Lancaster County. Horse poop was on the road everywhere.
I lived in Sugar and east of Cleveland and Mentor, Ohio, and it is 4 buggies to 1 car.
Exactly.
And that's my commute to work. And so there's just
And actually in driver's ed in school where we were, one of the things you had to learn is how to safely pass horse and buggies because there were so many.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that was one of the things we had to learn.
Can we have that everywhere, please?
Yeah, how to safely
pass
horses.
A horse safely.
Yeah, you don't have to blow your horn to let them know you're coming.
So, honk, honk, hi.
Hi. Yeah, as the horse is
taking
off.
Now you're in my windshield.
Counselor Mike Chase said he heard a number of complaints about horse manure around Riverside Drive and Riverside Park, including under trees where horses are tied. And this is the quote of the day. Parents have found their kids with horse manure on them, Chase said.
Oh, my God.
They are going to die for sure.
Oh, my God, that's horrible. Oh, the poor kids.
They're going to die. They got horse manure on them.
I don't understand, though, like how, I mean, what are they rolling in it? I have a kid, and he doesn't, like, smear it on his face or anything, and he lives on a farm.
Yeah, and you know what? It's just good. It's good protection for all the diseases to come. And I love the Amish's answer to this. Horse manure is a little bit of grass fiber and it goes a long way. It's not as much of an issue as it looks. There are a lot of things that are a lot more unhealthy. You just don't see them. So I love that.
You know
answer.
What? They're probably sitting there eating their corn syrup and dye filled candy while they're talking about the horse manure killing them.
Exactly. Drinking 12 Cokes a day. But I just thought that I love that line. Parents have found their kids with horse manure on them.
Oh, my God. That's the worst. That's crazy. Yeah. So that's the question of the day is, what do you as horse people find acceptable that non-horse people don't find acceptable at all?
There you go, Jennifer.
The
There's the question of the day for our Facebook page. All right,
and poop are okay with us.
Yeah, that's right. We have our first guest coming up today, and I'm excited to talk to her. We have Kate Hoffler on, who has an author, and she works actually right now for a publishing company out of Columbus. And, you know, we get the question. a lot of people wonder, and we've had a lot of authors on the show talk about the challenges of getting a book published and what that's like. And there's very few authors that write one book and then send it in and it gets published. And, you know, that's why there's a lot of self-publishing now, because that's not a common thing. Good morning, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into the whole publishing thing, I got to ask you a question. You've done a children's book, and it seems like there's been a renaissance of children's books here again. We got a lot of celebrities writing kids' books now. It's become a thing.
It has been. Yeah. It really has. And it actually makes me really happy. Because I do think that children's books are actually essentially for everyone. Kind of sometimes describe it as poetry for general audiences. And so I think it's actually really nice now that we have kind of a resurrection, I guess, of this genre and a renaissance of it. Because it's nice, I think, anytime we have something that brings people together of all ages and all generations. And that kind of, I think, allows both adults and children to have vicarious experiences together. So, yeah, no, it's very exciting.
Even Jimmy Fallon now is writing kids' books and promotes him on the Tonight Show. Yeah.
So now
you wrote one, but it did not get published by the first time you sent it in to somebody. Tell us about the challenge that it was to actually get it published.
It's kind of interesting because there's a writer that I worked with once. He was a professor of mine, and he put it this way, which it's the best kind of description. And I even think encouragement for writers. And he said, your goal at first should just be to build a relationship of rejection. And what that means is, you know, you might send something to an editor. It's kind of like the nerd at summer camp just trying to get the one yes, but you send something to an editor and you may just get a standard rejection letter.
Kate, I was the nerd at the summer camp.
The editor read it.
So I get it. I was the nerd. Right. Yeah, I was that guy.
Well, you only need one. Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe you send something again and again and again, and maybe the third or fourth time you get a little note that just says, sorry, on it. And then all of a sudden, someone has taken an extra 5 seconds because they saw something in your work. And then all of a sudden, you keep sending things back to that editor, and maybe you get 2 sentences back or 3 sentences. And so what's funny was, when I sent Real Cowboys off, I hope I get a personalized rejection. Like, that was the best I was hoping for. So when I got the yes, yeah, and when you're used to being the nerd at the summer camp, it's unbelievable. But it is really, I think that, you know, you do have to persevere, and you have to know that you learn a lot from the no's, but it's this weird combination of also not taking the no's personally, because they might only publish 12 picture books a year and they're getting, 1,000 submissions or, you know, so you do have to kind of take it all in stride and... try to learn.
How important is it now? I mean, you can self-publish now. That's become a lot easier than it was 20 years ago. But the problem with that is then you don't have the promotion, the marketing machine that you do with the publisher. You got to go out and do all that yourself, and that's a lot of hustling to sell a few books that you make less money on. So I assume it's still so important if you have a major publisher behind you.
It is. I think it is nice. Especially because they do take all those steps for you. And there is a lot of, you kind of feel like you're stumbling around in the dark. And so, it's nice at first to have kind of people in the know taking you step by step through it. Now, there are a lot of, you know, of course, good self-starters and, people who I think can handle the self-publishing really well. I just wasn't one of those people that I thought, oh, I won't be able to do this. I can barely remember to get the trash out on Tuesdays. And so I thought, yeah, I'm just going to, go with looking for the, relationship of rejection. And I just loved writing and everything. And so I think it is so helpful. I guess that's even the best word. It's just so helpful because you kind of have a team behind you.
That have done it before.
You know, it's kind of like, right. Yeah. It's like, you know, like a race car driver. You have somebody replacing your tires before you go for the next. Yeah, I mean, it's just very helpful. Yeah.
So I got to ask Jamie a question. So Jamie, you know, you obviously have four now. So you've just gone through the years. And I know that your child is really into electronics, but do you think people are still reading as many books to kids, or are they?
Oh my gosh.
So that's my question.
It's funny you mentioned that. Every night we read him a book or two or three and he picks them out. So it's like, we brush our teeth, go pee, and pick out your book. And so he has a bookshelf and he picks out whatever book he wants. Usually I have to go, no, only four. So he loves being read to. It's part of our nightly routine, is what we do every night. He loves books. I'm not gonna get my kid in bed and pop up with a, here's your iPad, let me Kindle you a story. No, I mean, it's a book. Like, kids like books. My kid does anyway.
Have you found that too, Kate? Has book sales on kids' books, are they still going up? Are they still hanging in there overall?
Yeah, but you know, they're hanging in there. I think that I think there are so many children who like to, for example, go behind a chair to read a book. You have the libraries that have the books, because not every kid has kind of the technology to have the ebooks. So it's something that, you know, you can go to a library. It's something that is available to all, to everyone, no matter, you know, what salaries the children's parents make. But yeah, no, I have found that it remains the same. I think that kids are so tactile and they love to hold something in their hands and they love to turn the pages
and see pictures and all that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I know as a parent myself, I had started reading to my kids when they were newborns, not necessarily because I thought they picked up on anything, but it actually gave me something to do with them, you know, because when they're newborns, they're not really doing much other than crying and sleeping. And I remember it gave me a little structure to my own day.
It's a nightmare. You can say it. Having a baby is a total nightmare.
Okay.
It's fine.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And I felt like it sort of, I know it's going to sound weird, but kind of saved me a little bit because it gave me something to do, you know, other than what I was doing at the time, which was, you know, not getting sleep, not really knowing. You're still kind of getting to know your newborn.
It's like, and, just say it. It's having a newborn is like being under house arrest.
It is. I know. And then when you tell people about it, they just laugh, you know, and you're just like, no, help me, please.
No, they're like, oh, you just enjoy these times. They're going to go by so fast. And you're like, I hope so, but they're really slow right now.
Oh yeah. Yep.
All right. Talk about books. Sorry, well, I'm going to be quiet.
Kate, tell us about your book. Let's talk a little bit about yours called Real Cowboys.
Yes. So I've had, you know, people ask me too, you know, why cowboys? Why write this book right now? And, you know, and I think for a lot of writers, at least for me, sometimes I have to kind of look in retrospect, but I did go across the West as a child by car with my parents. And I do think when you experience a place by car, it's a completely different experience. And you take in a lot of things that you might not take in if you travel, you know, any other way, obviously if you fly, something like that. But I can remember I'm trying to remember if it was in, you know, Montana or Colorado, but I have this picture of a sign I saw out there that said, do not feed the marmots. And I remember at the time, I didn't know what a marmot was, but it was just the sense that the West was this magical, very kind of different place from Ohio. And that it was this place where you're sort of on your own and you're especially affected by your own decisions. And so anyway, I think as a child, I had this very visceral connection to it, but it wasn't really until, you know, years later when I'm writing and being a writer that, I had started thinking about the destruction of stampedes, and particularly the cowboys, who went across the West on the really long cattle drives. And it wasn't really until I learned about the distraction of stampedes and how all the work that cowboys were doing on these cattle drives where they're gone for weeks and months, it was all about gentleness. So they really responded to darkness and violence with, they didn't meet that with darkness and violence. They met it with gentleness, and then in particular with song. And so I think as a writer, I really connected with that because I think, you know, writers, we also respond with art to an unpredictable world, a world where, you know, anything can go wrong. And I think in particular, children's book writers were always asking ourselves very similar questions to what these cowboys were asking, which is like, how can I move people through these darker elements of life? How can we keep going? And I think that in particular, it was night herding songs that I loved, learning about them and how they sang to cattle at night to keep them asleep. When I go to school visits, I ask kids, you know, what is that called? And they'll say, it's a lullaby. And so anyway, there was a lot of crossovers. It was just a very kind of organic, natural thing for me to write about. And I really connected with the cowboys on that level. And even down to the fact that they were singing, you know, a lot of the night herding songs, they refer to all the cattle as dogies. And of course, when I do school visits, I have to explain the difference between a doggie and a dogie.
Yeah,
but
one's bigger than the other.
yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Kate, before we run out of time, I want to give some credit because a kid's book is not a kid's book without the illustrator. And yours was illustrated by Jonathan Bean. Is that something that you find yourself, or does the publisher recommend an illustrator?
You know, it's actually, it's a combination of both, where the publisher often shows you the artwork of different illustrators who they think would be a good match, and they might think would be interested. And when Jonathan Bean signed on with the book, I was so, so excited. I just think that I was very familiar with his work, and he had done Goodbye, Bad Bye. You know, a lot of travel across the West, and he's just always been so brilliant. And I really think he illustrated this perfectly because he really allows the book to unfold in a surprising way that kind of, I think, matches the surprise in the text. And it was just a dream to be matched up with him. And he is so talented and just so very kind and so very humble about his work when he could. It's okay if he wouldn't be because he's so brilliant, but he's just wonderful. Yeah.
Well, where can everybody buy it? Where can they get it?
You know, you can get it anywhere that you would think to get a book. If you like independent bookstores, you can have your independent bookstore order it. Amazon has it, Barnes & Noble. You can go directly to the Houghton Mifflin website. So anywhere there. Yeah.
All right, good.
They're out in the wild.
It's called Real Cowboys, and we'll put a link to it in our show notes, and also we'll post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning a link to it as well. Kate, thank you so much for joining us, and good work. Keep writing.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. I don't think I would have the patience to write a book and then try and get it published. That is such a long process.
It is. It sounds really good that Lucas loves cowboy books. There's a book called Cowboy Small, and it's a story about a young boy. I mean, it's like a square, you know, hard page book, pictures and everything. But Cowboy Small rides a horse, and he has his own horse, and it's a paint horse, and looks just like Chili, but its name is Cactus. So now I read the book as Cowboy Lucas and Chili. So
you become an actress.
Cowboy Small. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, and it's really hard in your mind to like switch the word you're reading with another word completely, especially after this show where I read what I see. And I'm like, and Cowboy Lucas and his horse Chili. But he loves it.
Speaking of which, we can make an announcement today that we're very excited about. We've been working with Lisa Wysocki. Obviously, she fills in with you a lot, or for you a lot, rather. And we'll be here next week when you're gone a couple of days. But she obviously is a well-known published author about books that involve horses. We are in several of those books, and she has a series of Cat Enright series that she does. We are allowed to say that she's still negotiating, and it looks very good with the movie TV people. So she's still not committing to us playing ourselves in the movie or TV. So that's she says she can't guarantee that and get it written in her contract that we get to play ourselves. But so we'll have to decide who's going to play us. But one of the exciting things, and this does never happens, is remember years ago, you remember, but I'm asking the audience, if you remember years ago, you guys loved it when Jamie read a book. We did Black Beauty, and we did it. God, that's early on, Jamie. That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago because I read it because you had never heard it. And yeah, I said, well, yeah.
So
you didn't even listen. You were like online shopping while I was reading.
But the listeners listened and they loved it. And we've been looking for the right book to read again on the show to do like a chapter a week. Well, the publishers of Lisa's books have said that we can start with their first book and we can actually read it on the air. So,
oh my God. Gosh,
that doesn't happen. That does not happen with publishers. They're usually not that liberal or lenient about having it's all the copyright mess and everything. But I got an official email from her publishers. By the way, her publishers are out of Beverly Hills. So she's dealing with the right people. So I got an email from them giving us permission to read her first book. So we're going to start that. It's been sent to you, Jamie. So you're going to get a chance to take a look at it. And we're going to have Lisa on to talk about it before you read the first chapter. And I think what we decided we're going to do is it's going to be Wednesdays at 10:15. Every week, we're going to read one chapter of the book. And I think there's like 32 chapters. So it's going to take us almost a year to get through the book. But I think the listeners are going to love it. I think that...
And if you don't, then you can just stop, you can just turn it off.
But you love doing it too. You are a good reader. I mean, I may not like the story a whole lot, but you definitely are a good reader. So I'm excited.
I cried while reading it. Okay.
you know how they always say in American Idol or America's Got Talent that you got to put emotion behind your songs. You didn't have any trouble with that reading the book. There was definitely emotion behind it. So I'm very excited to hear you read it. I really am. That's coming up.
I can't wait.
It's going to be starting in the next couple of weeks. And thank you to Lisa Wysocki for putting in all the effort to get that done.
That's awesome. I feel like it would be better if she read it, but
she wants you to read it. We had that discussion. So she wants you to read it. Yep.
Okay. Maybe they're just trying to get a free audiobook.
I'll send them the recordings every week, put them all together and make an audiobook. Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Last night, I helped out with Reese and Phillip recording the Dressage Show, and Kentucky Performance Products is a sponsor of that show, too. Karen from Kentucky Performance Products came on, and she talked about the heat index, because the big question, it was over 100 degrees in many of the eastern states yesterday, even up into Pennsylvania. And Reese is in Maryland and said, how do I know when it's too hot to ride? It was freaking hot here. You deal with that all the time. We'll deal with all that all the time. But Karen has a formula that she uses to decide if it's too hot. So let's take a listen to that. And I think this is an everyday thing you can use to determine if it's too hot that day to ride for the horse's benefit.
Well, we are so happy to have Karen Isberg from Kentucky Performance Products on with us for her monthly segment. Karen, welcome to the show as always.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's nice to be inside on this hot day.
I know. Well, it's so cute because I actually had a question and we wanted to just do a quick review on the heat index because we talked about this last year. We have a great segment on hydrating your horses and also when it is too hot to ride. And it came up here at the barn today. And so, Karen, can you explain to us that formula? When it may be too hot to really ride.
Right. And it's real simple, so I won't overcomplicate it. Just quickly to remind people, the way your horse cools himself is by sweating. And they do it by evaporation. So if the air is full of moisture, then your horse can't evaporate enough liquid off their body to cool themselves. So that's why you can't just look at temperature. You have to look at temperature and humidity. And of course, out west, that's not as much an issue. But here in the central Kentucky and in the south, it becomes a big issue and often in the northeast. So what you want to do in the morning is you want to get up and you want to look at the temperature, and you also want to look at the relative humidity, and you want to add those two numbers together. You can also look at wind speed, but wind speed doesn't make a lot of difference unless the wind's really high. So you take that number and you add it together. If it's less than 130, it's safe to ride. If it's between 140 and 180, you need to be careful. You shouldn't push your horse too much. You should stay in the shade, and he's going to need a cool bath to cool down. If you add those two numbers up and they're above 180, you just need to give your horse a bath, put him in a stall under a fan, and you need to go into the air conditioning because it's just really too hot and humid for the horse to cool himself at all. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Well, it's a hot one out there, and the heat wave has hit much of the United States and the rest of the world. Well, don't let dehydration and electrolyte imbalance sideline your horse. Summer Games Electrolytes are formulated to replace both the electrolytes and the trace minerals that are lost when your horse sweats. Its concentrated formula allows you to easily feed the correct amount to meet your horse's changing needs. This electrolyte was developed for the equine athletes at the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta. We all know that it can get hot in Atlanta. For horses on the go, use Summer Games Electrolyte Plus Paste. Each dose contains a serving of Nalox Equine Antacid for double the protection against stress. And of course, you can find all of that at Kentucky Performance Products. They take out the confusion of choosing the right supplement. And you can find them at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Okay, so the formula, and I just did it here for today, is you add the real temperature and the humidity index, and you add those two together, and then you kind of determine whether it's too hot. And I think she said between 150 and like 180 was getting up there, and then when you're over 180 to 200, you kind of really shouldn't, and over 200, just forget it. don't do it.
Well, I heard the 180 go back in to the thing, but I realized it's like 110 here, and the humidity is like 4. So I can pretty much ride any time. Let's do this.
Well, and when I looked right now, it's 90 degrees here, and the humidity is 92%. So it's 182. Pretty much, there is no day we can ride here in Florida. We use that index. You got to go out early. But it is an interesting index to use, and you can listen back to that for the exact formula. And I think she also posted it over on KPP's page. But it was interesting to hear that again.
Okay, it's 87 right now. Keep in mind it's 640. And the humidity is 44%. So I'm still good.
You're still good.
This is the time I ride every day.
You're getting up to the borderline, but you're still good. Yep.
Yeah.
And Jennifer, you can't ride at all today.
Sorry, Jen. You're grounded.
You're grounded. Now, didn't we talk on Wednesday about Pink getting a checkup to see if she was pregnant? What's the scoop?
We had the pregnancy check yesterday, and I was going to report to you guys about it. But I also had some other issues with some of my horses. You guys know, dear Chili, bless his heart. Chili has a dental disease, hyperkeratosis, whatever. His teeth are falling out. He's got that. He's got back pain. He's got massively arthritic hocks. He's got a knee that's about to fuse. I mean, he is a disaster. But he's been peeing in his stall, like to the point where a normal horse pees, and then there's Chili's stall, which is like drenched. And I have to keep switching his stall so it'll dry out. So I have to keep putting another horse in his stall so it'll eventually dry out. And I keep moving him. So he's been peeing an awful lot. Then we have the pony, Jacob. And he belongs to a boarder. But the boarder, you know, in all honesty, has turned 18 and or 17. And she's kind of... They send me a board check. Let's just put it like that. So Jacob's been being ridden and used in lessons, but because his mama is not riding him, and he was a novice level event pony, because she's not riding him, he's been bucking kids off. Uh-oh. So I can't use him in lessons anymore. Well, then some of my older students are riding him, and he's been trying to buck them off. And so to me, that did not add up. So the vet is here. And my vet, Dr. Hendricks, combines a little Eastern and Western medicine. Because she's a normal vet, but she also is a certified acupuncturist and all that. And there's a scan that she does with the horses that she can test. They're kind of, I'm not smart enough. We need Dr. Wendy to like explain it, but she tests their meridian lines or whatever and hits points on their body while you're scanning. And she's like kind of touching them basically. And they react in certain ways, like, oh, she'll be like, that's a foot point, or, oh, that's a kidney point, or, oh, that's a, you know, front, whatever, ulcer point. And like, I've seen her as her vet tech years ago, seen this really be helpful in diagnosis. So when she got here, I said, do you mind just scanning Chili to see if like, for some reason, his kidney point lights up and that's why he's peeing all the time, and scan Jacob to see if he has some back pain or something because he's bucking kids off. And we've got a preg check Pink. No problem. So she gets out the ultrasound and she pregnancy checks Pink. And do you want to take a guess if she's pregnant or not?
I think I said the other day I was feeling good. I was feeling positive.
Ah, you were wrong.
Ugh.
Not pregnant. And I really didn't think she was, because I just felt like it was too frazzled. Like it was too fast. It happened too fast. I had to give her the progesterone. I had to give her this. I had to give her oxytocin. I had to do, there was just too much around. Like she had fluid in her uterus. Like it was just too much stress all at once. And it's really hot here. So she is going to come back because Pink had 3 follicles. And I guess the semen lasts inside their little, you know, uterus or wherever it goes. It lasts in there for 3 days. So she's going to come back on Monday and just check the other follicles to see if either one of those released and got fertilized. But I don't think they did, because she still kind of stayed in heat for a couple days. So that's kind of the idea of when that takes within 24 hours, that progesterone just shuts down their heat cycle and they become like settled down, you know? And she didn't really do that. So I kind of never, I don't think anything happened.
Does this mean you'll wait now to winter? Is that?
Yes. Yeah. I will not rebreed her. It is too freaking hot. And, her coming in heat, in this heat, is probably not even going to happen again.
Right.
You know, they all kind of shut down this time of year. Plus, if I want to do future event horror stuff with this baby, which I do want to do, having it born closer to January is better. Like, I thought it was amazing that baby Zara was born January 12th. So she's going to be one of the oldest in her class, you know, for athletics. It's going to be a big deal. So not pregnant. So Dr. Hendricks comes in and I'm like, let's scan Chili. Let's see what's going on. Just see if there's anything. Well, of course, Chili is sensitive, you know, all over the place, but she scans his kidney point and he like flattens out, like it's on the top of the back, and he cringes, and she's like, that's kidney, and then that's spleen, and then that's liver, and he was reactive to everything. And to the point where like you could take your finger, she was like, that's the point right there, and you just lightly touch him in that spot and he would flatten out, like super painful. So she's like, I don't think that we have a kidney issue. You know what he has? And she's like looking at his hair coat. She goes, he has Cushing's.
Ugh.
Cushing's disease, which.
How Cushing's is he disease again? Is he's like 25.
He's 24. Yeah. And it's a typical age for Cushing's disease in horses. And the fact that he's, you know, not come up with anything, but basically it's a dysfunction of the pituitary gland. And it is, it's not insulin. It's associated with insulin resistance, but it's not the equine metabolic syndrome. So I don't know if any of that makes sense, but it's basically a tumor on their pituitary gland. And so it makes him drink a lot and pee a lot, and the hair doesn't really come out, and he shed out, but you can see that there's a lot more that could be, but it's short hair. So anyway, so there was just a lot of things. So as opposed to, if you're going to test for Cushing's, you actually need to test, because you have to kind of test them to get a real baseline, like every hour for a day, you know, for 12 hours to really get a good baseline of what his, insulin and all that stuff is, all that science. I'm not a vet. So anyway, so she's like, why don't we just treat him? and see if it makes a difference. So we started him on the pills, which are, Kate Chad just left the room. They're $2 a day. So that's $60 a month. And he's also on Attacuan. And all of a sudden, I'm spending $200 a month on this horse medication. So we're going to have to figure out Cushing's or Attacuan. Decide. yeah, like, I can't afford both. This poor horse, and he's had so many dental surgeries. And she's like, and I think we're going to have to pull another tooth next month. I'm like, great. So Chili, the most expensive, you know, free horse ever. But he's still teaching little kids lessons. I mean, he does is put little kids on, and that's, he's like their first three lessons. And he's really good at that. And he's super trustworthy. And I will keep a horse. My rule with horses is as long as they're eating and or walking sound. When it hurts to walk, they're to me losing their dignity. You know, and if that's super chronic pain. So he's still walking great and he's eating like a cow. So that's good. So I have a non-pregnant horse and I all of a sudden, boom, in my lap have Cushing's. So let's go look at the pony. So she goes over, she starts scanning the pony. And I've seen enough scans to have already figured out what was going on almost immediately. She scans him. Back is fine. Everything is fine. It's no problem. He sometimes, Jacob is a little pony and he gets beans in his sheath really easily. So he has to have his sheath clean. She's like, we'll definitely do that. Maybe there's something going on there. She's like, but let's take him out of the stall. Can you walk him in some circles? Sure. Walk him in some circles. She's like, let's get him to trot. Son of a bitch. He's got freaking laminitis. So in an hour, I went from a normal day to a non-pregnant horse, a horse with Cushing's, and a pony with laminitis. It's Jacob, Glenn, the boarded pony.
Oh,
with
gotcha.
the kid that never comes ride. So he's gotcha. Getting fat. I can't use him. So obviously he's getting fat because he's not being ridden. And this is like, he's been with me for 9 years now. And I mean, he's like my horse, you know, when they're boarded with you and you only have a certain amount of boarders, all the horses are yours. So I'm just devastated by this, all this news. So he's no more treats, no more grass. He is off the pastures completely. Fortunately, I have a little dry lot, but he's going to be miserable. And now he has to have some time off to let his feet cool off before we're, and now I had to go buy this light food. And Zeus obviously is prone to have the equine metabolic syndrome, so his diet had to change. I had to go get special hay, I had to go get special grain, I had to go get pills, I had to go do everything, and then I've got to figure out to get we get Chili to eat a pill because he just eats
so that may be the worst part.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know what and Chili says really about that. Teeth. This is what Chili says about that.
So I'm like, but one of the girls was here, and she's like, so let me get this straight, Doc. In 1 hour, she has a non-pregnant horse, a horse with Cushing's, and a horse with laminitis. Just like that. She's like, but the good news is, and what Chad said, because, you know, your husband cannot stand to see you unhappy, right? They can't handle anything. And he does not understand why I'm in a bad mood. He's like, everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. I'm like, no, you don't understand. My world changed this morning. Now everything, you know how much I stress about this crap. And now you're going to throw diseases on top of caring for these horses. Oh my God, I can't handle it. So he's like, everybody's fine. Look at this. Chili's 24. He's going to be on the pills. He'll be fine. He's like, so Pink's not pregnant. You can use her as a lesson horse. She's a great riding horse. He's like, and then you've got Jacob. And you caught that so fast. He's only minorly has laminitis. And he's like, so really, this is a good day. I'm like, I hate you so much right now.
Yeah, but we have to understand where he's coming from. He gets shot at for a living. So, you know, for him, you know, a couple horse issues. I didn't crash my plane today. I'm doing great. This is a good day.
I didn't crash a $30 million aircraft.
Yeah, well,
fine, if you want to put it like that. He does have more pressure in life, but he doesn't love that jet like I love these horses.
Oh, I bet when he's flying it, he loves that jet just fine. But so, you're right. You know what it is, though? You know what it is? It's more than just all of that. It's the hassle. It is the hassle, too, because it just becomes more hassle.
Yeah.
I mean, this job, this thing we do with horses, let's be honest, it's hassle. Cleaning and feeding, and it's just a hassle. Now, it may be enjoyable hassle, and we all love doing it, but when you add more hassle, it's still hassle. So,
well, it's just so much more to worry about. Yeah. Like, now I'm like, okay.
Oh,
Jacob,
and then when you go away, you have to explain it to somebody who's going to do it, and then you're worried about them doing it right because now there's all this extra crap.
Well, I'm like, I'm leaving town tomorrow, and I now have to explain to the farmsteader that you need to cut a piece of apple or grab a fig newt and shove a pill in it and hand it to the horse and make sure he freaking eats it. And this pony, by the way, doesn't get any, and this is his special kind of hay, and this is special kind of grain. Oh my God, it's like enough. It was just really crushing. And then to go in the house and it'd be freaking hot because my air conditioner's broken. I was like, I can't deal. I need a beer, and it's 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, but that all gets dumped off on the farm sitter, and you get to go enjoy the beach next week.
True. The bright spot. You know what? I told Chad, I'm like, I don't even care that I'm going to Hawaii with, you know, it's his family trip. It's a family reunion. I don't want to sound like a spoiled, snotty brat and be like, oh, I'm going to Hawaii again with this family, because it's cool that we're going to Hawaii. But what I just want to do is sleep past 4:30. Because that's the time I have to get up to do either this show or to get up and ride at 4:30. So I'm super excited to sleep past 4:30.
Jennifer,
and we'll see if I can get it done. I might have to take a Benadryl to sleep.
Jennifer, can we make sure we set an alarm to call her at...
No, don't you dare. I won't answer. Hold on.
Hawaii time's about 6 hours. We'll call you about noon our time. You'll just be, you'll be wanting to get up by that point.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Sure. Thank you.
Aren't you going to get up and watch the sunrise over the beach every day?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
You know, that's good for me one day. I want to see the sunrise one day. But then, you know what? It looks the same the next day. So,
you know what? I'll watch a sunset with a beer. How about that?
Okay. That sounds like a better plan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry about all this crap. It's just, I agree. It's just hard. You know, it's the money is an issue, but it also is the hassle. It's just the extra stress and hassle.
You know, you're a horse husband, so you're like, it's hassle. But to me, it's like my little friends have issues. And you know what? They're getting older. And it's heartbreaking because you realize that life is moving on and they don't live as long as us. And you have to worry about them. Now I look out and I'm like, okay, is he okay? Like, is he laying down too much? Is he not standing?
Are you calling home from Hawaii every 2 minutes?
Of course I am. Are you kidding? My poor farm sitter, she's going to just be like, leave me alone. Yeah. Everybody's fine.
I'll let you know if I need you.
Is Chili peeing too much? Is he overheated? Is he shedding out? Like, all these things that now I get to add to my level of worry, because my worry up until yesterday morning is, has Zeus escaped? Right. Like, that's what I consumed my day with. It was, has Zeus escaped the barn? And is he eating all the grain, or is he running away? Like, that was, now I have to worry about so much more, along with Zeus.
All right, well, go to Hawaii, enjoy, eat some good food, sit on the beach, relax, sleep till noon.
Let's do a bad ads. Let's move on.
All
I'm
right.
tired talking.
Well, before we do that, though, I noticed that one of our listeners asked you about your helmet because they were looking at getting a new helmet. And which Ovation helmet do you use?
I use the Ovation Sync. It's such a cool looking helmet, and it's not their most expensive either. So it's kind of nice that it's really affordable. But it's the one that's blue and black, and it has like a little pinstripe in between the colors on each side. And it's such a nice helmet, and it's very light and it's adjustable. So if like my ponytail is riding a little high that day, I can adjust it on the back with a little dial. And it's not a big, solid, giant bucket on my head. You know, there's like vents, and as far as for riding in Arizona, it is awesome.
Well,
I love that. It's my fourth helmet, by the way, the same exact one.
And that's the Protege, right? You just said
the Sync.
The Sync. Yeah. Okay.
Ovation.
I found it. Yep.
Sync.
The Ovation Sync helmet. Yes, I found it. You know why I was having trouble finding it? Because they have like 85 different helmets they offer. There's a lot of different helmets. If you go to ovationriding.com, you'll see all of the options. The Ovation Sync helmet is $69.
Yeah.
Full retail. I mean, that's nothing. So yeah, check it out. They come in different colors, but they also have a wide variety of other helmets and a ton of other products. And what's really cool is their website was just redesigned. I went there to this morning, and it's like a whole new thing since I went last week.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, and it's so easy to get around now. You can just choose whether you want women's stuff, girls, men's stuff. They have a lot of men's stuff, too, which is kind of nice. But you just choose what you want to do, and you can go find the product so simply, so easily. And one other nice thing that Ovation Riding does is they have great descriptions on their products and all the different colors and sizes and everything. So definitely head over there. They also have a search where you can find to buy it, what store is near you, and you can use that or which online retailers. So head over to
Ovation. All right. I just noticed that the Ovation Sync has a removable washable liner.
Do you do that?
I should probably remove and wash mine because, man, that's a stink fest.
Okay, so you didn't know that before?
Like, I didn't know that. I can remove that? Sweet.
Have you been just throwing the whole helmet into the washing machine? Is that what you've been doing?
No, I don't wash it. And then I have a helmet bag because I like to keep it nice on the top. So if I do put it away, I put it in the helmet bag and so it doesn't get scuffed.
Do you put little Febreze sticks in the helmet bag?
No, I don't. You unzip that helmet bag, you're like, oh, God. And then you put it on your head. And then you wear it on your head. This is, again, one of those things that horse chicks find different than regular people. Is then I take it off and I'm like, I'll be fine. And I just put a hat on. So it covers the helmet head, but the stink of my hair, I'm going to wash that.
In 140 degrees out there in Arizona.
Wash it.
Okay, yeah, go wash that today. That'd be good. OvationRiding.com. It is that time of the week. And I would play the thing if I could find it.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do some really bad ads submitted by our listeners found on Facebook or Craigslist around the United States and the world. And we take everybody that submits an ad all month long. We put them in a pile. We draw out names at the end of the month, and those people win some prizes. And Jennifer's going to tell us what the prizes are.
And those prizes are this month. We've got a $50 gift card from Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Woohoo! Kelly Hurd Jewelry is the place to go for fine yellow gold, white gold, sterling silver, and platinum equestrian jewelry. Beautifully crafted settings with gemstones, diamonds, or pearls are available to satisfy your need for sparkle, each piece being finely crafted with a meticulous attention to detail. Choose from Kelly Hurd's wide selection of finished pieces, or you can even design your own. And know you're getting the best. Kelly Hurd Jewelry can be found at fine equestrian retailers or online at kellyhurdjewelry.com. And the second prize for this month, woohoo, a box of crap from Glenn Zesk. Woo!
Box of crap from my closet. That's correct. And I noticed a couple of people posting that they're very excited about the box of crap this month. It's on people's bucket list to win a box of crap. So let's start with the Renegade Equine sent this one in. I'm putting feelers out to place my Kyger mare. Experience is a must. She is 9 years old.
Hold on, Glenn. Stop. You're not reading this right because every single one of these sentences has an exclamation point at the end of it.
See, I write that way with exclamation points, so I don't even notice it. I'm putting feelers out to place my Kyger mare. Experience is a must. She is 9 years old. I don't have papers. I haven't tapped her, but she is about 15 hands. She's been saddled a couple of times. She is shy and needs consistent work. If you feel you're a good match for this mare, message me. $500.
Reading along with it while you're reading it, I'm just like, I don't even know what you said because it's so distracting with all the exclamation
points. She meant to say taped, but she wrote tapped. I haven't tapped her, but she has 15 hands.
It's so funny. Chad, I'll text him and he'll call me and he'll go, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing's wrong. What are you talking about? He's like, well, you sent me a text and it sounded like you're mad. I'm like, I'm not mad. What are you talking about? He's like, there was no exclamation point or emoji after it. I'm just busy. It's okay. I'm not mad at you.
Same way. If Glenn texts me and there's no emoji, it's like, oh my God, something's wrong.
Yeah. It's like, there's no exclamation points. Are you mad at me? Oh gosh. Okay. Lila sent this one in, and this
Good
is
luck
Norco.
With this one, huh? By the way. Good luck. This one makes no freaking sense at all.
Mini horse I bought from taxidermist, Norco, California. This is off Craigslist. I bought our mini witch, was named Snow. Flake, you are a taxidermist and have a nice ranch next to the wash. You have a double story barn top, four floor full of exotic stuffed fish on the walls. I believe you said stuffed some of the Budweiser. Horses, I love Snowflake. We bought here off of you about 7 years ago, give or take. I came in the white, two-horse trailer and the red Jeep Cherokee. To pick here up, I owed you a little under $100 to seal the deal on here. I lost contact to you and cannot seem to find your ranch. If you see my ad, can you contact us in March, hoping to square away here paperwork? I know you love minies. Thanks. Hope to find you, Snowflake, is the love of our lives here. Now, what the hell did I just read?
Well,
I don't even know.
Yeah, well, it was kind of confusing, but I've read it about 6 times. The thing that gets me is they haven't paid this guy for 7 years, and now all of a sudden they're looking for him. It's been 7 years, give or take. I think
I guarantee you,
forgotten.
if you owe him money, he remembers you. Yeah. He ain't gonna call you back. Tell you something else.
Whoa, that was a tough one. Yeah, I gave that one to you because I wasn't gonna try and read
my
it.
Stomach is sick after reading that. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Stuffed Budweiser horses is the other thing I got out of that one. Oh. Kate sent this one in. Craigslist. Walking horse, $200.
No. It's a
Wallaking horse. It's a Wallaking horse. $200 in La Follette. I am rehoming my walking horse, Elvis. He's a stud colt. He is a yearling. His birthday is April 27th, 2016. I just bathed him with Microtech medicated shampoo this week.
Wow.
I feed him 2 scoops of Safe Choice feed and 1 scoop of Cool Calories Day. I get it at Tractor Supply in Jacksboro. He has been wormed with Equimax 2 times. Must pick up. Is this a commercial? I don't know. Is this an ad for products? I don't know what this is.
Can you just, we specific. Need a button that says, geld that shiz. What are you doing?
What? I don't get it. Why do I really want to know when he's been bathed and which particular products?
I bathed him with Microtech. Okay. Yeah. And I love the fact that she can't spell walking horse, but she spelled Microtech medicated shampoo.
That's true.
Oh God. Marissa sent this one in. Male pony and female horse. $1,500 in Spotsylvania. Pony is a male, can't have babies. Horse.
In case you horse didn't know that.
Horse is a female. Both sold together. Great health. Open for trades for, can you guess? No, you can't because we've never seen this before. Open for trades for a pregnant female cow.
Who can't have babies?
Well, that's not a pregnant male cow.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That'd be hard to find. Pony is a male, can't have babies. Horse is a female. So it's like a little pony and a big horse. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
In Spotsylvania, proud to say Pennsylvania. All right. Aaron sent the following one in. It's our horse trip. Well, I'd like to say it's our horse trailer of the week, but there's really not much left to it. Horse trailer, $500, way over the price we allow. We have a horse trailer for sale asking $500, needs a new floor. I got news for you. It needs a new everything, not just a new
floor. It just needs a floor.
There's no floor. Maybe there used to be a floor at one time. It also needs all of the rust removed from the entire thing. It also needs a roof. It also needs the top of the sides. It also needs some tires because they've covered. Now, if you're going to take a picture for the trailer for sale, I realize it's a piece of crap, but if you're going to take the picture, there's a board leaning up against the tires. You could at least take the board and put it on the ground. Just pull it down so I can see the tires.
What I like is that the windows are intact and they're like a really nice shade of yellowed, just aged PVC plastic nastiness.
Yeah, you can't
nastiness.
See anything in and out of those.
And if you look at the back picture, you notice that the walls have actually fallen outwards. So yes, there's not, I mean, this is disaster. Yeah, the this frame is $500. Is $500. Good Lord.
Yeah, maybe junk. Maybe pay somebody to come pick it up. Jennifer will post that lovely trailer on our Facebook.
Jennifer, post a picture on the right, though, because I feel like you get more when you realize that there's absolutely no floor.
Yeah, I think that one's more dramatic. Yeah. Yes.
And that the frame has rusted out completely to the point where the walls are falling down.
Yeah.
All right.
The next one, Chelsea sent in, and it's chickens, but there's no vowel in that word, no vowels. So it's just
she didn't buy any vowels.
She did not buy any vowels. For sale, $100,000.
Well, that's what it says.
Oh my God. Right. Okay. This is, there's no, they don't like vowels. And if they do, they've used the wrong ones. So here we go. IHV, HERV, lots of them, comma, lots to choose from, .. $5 for dozen, .. Biddies and growed ones, too. I sell tea eggs, too, .. Cartoon for $6, 2 for 12. Call Buck or Muriel for more info or prices.
I just figured this out. If it's $100,000 and she says she has lots of them and they're $5 a dozen, I figured it out. She's got 240,000 chickens.
Did you do 12 divided by 100,000?
Dozen is an actual word. That's dozen plus a doozy. So it's a doozy of a dozen. It's a dozen.
240,000 chickens. This lady does have lots of them. You better go buy some.
I think Danville's in Kentucky. So honestly, it's like, I have lots of them, lots to choose from. $5 for dozen. I got some biddies and crowed ones too. I sell the eggs, cartoons for $6. Call Buck or Muriel for more info or prices.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. I got biddies and growed ones.
Biddies and growed ones?
I got me some biddies and growed ones too, y'all.
Rebecca, I'm so glad you grew up in Atlanta and Georgia.
And lived in Kentucky for a hell of a long time. Okay.
Rebecca sent this one in.
Kids, you go get them chickens. Y'all bring them on up here because I got somebody who's interested in talking to me, okay? Go get some of the biddies. You go get some of the growed ones over there, and you get some of the biddies. Y'all bring them on up here. We'll sit them on the porch. We're going to have some tea. We're going to talk about how much you're going to get for a dozen of them, okay? Don't you make me come over there. You go get that chicken. You bring that biddy on up here, okay? You want dinner tonight, you're going to go get that chicken. Otherwise, you ain't going to eat, child. Sorry.
I can't go on. I can't do it.
Don't you make me put you in that car. I'll give you a whooping. You ain't never going to forget. Okay. You go get them biddies and doozin'. I'll knock you in the middle next week. Who you think you are? This is your mama talking. I tell you do something, you better do it. I'm going to whoop your ass. Don't you make me come over there. Sorry. I got a little carried away. having flashbacks to family reunions. I'm back.
Okay. Rebecca sent the next one in. It's a grande for $100 in Casa Grande, Arizona. That's appropriate. I have three horses, possibly POA, ponies for sale. Don't know anything about them, so selling is untouched. If you want to come look at them, let me know.
That's a bad ad right there.
Yeah, I got some ponies. I don't know what they are. I have know nothing about them, but if you want them, $100, they're yours.
Three horses for $100.
Yeah, that's dealer. Pretty. Dealer. Dealer. Or they're stolen.
You know what?
It's one of the two.
It's in Arizona. I could go get them and train them and sell them and make money.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Just hop right on over there. While you're at it, you can swing by Kentucky and pick up some $5 a dozen chickens.
Now, there, I found this next one because I have some questions about life with horses in Oklahoma, because I want to know where people in Oklahoma get their hay. What do they feed? And so I joined this group called like Oklahoma Horse and Tack, you know, whatever those Facebook groups are. Well, Chad has told me that since I have to actually join these groups, because this is the crap that I keep reading. I'm like, I'm not moving to Oklahoma. This is terrible. I can't do it. This is awful. Here's one of the posts. I thought there's two. So there's another one coming up. And this is what happens when you search in Oklahoma horses and tack or whatever. Brian Watt sent this one in. Anybody need a fat little yellow mare, 13 years old? She's broke. Rode her once last fall. She had a Palomino colt in April, about 14.2 or 14.3. I'm guessing because she's shorter than the rest of the herd and they're all over 15 hands. Dog, gentle. Easy to catch. I think she was shown 4-H back in the day. But if you talk to me right, I may throw in a breeding to my Palomino stud. But keep this in mind. This is not a I need the money like I'm trying to make bail situation. I just want to try something different. I just want to try something different as far as breeding goes. She's had two foals that I know of, both been Palomino. And this year's foal was already sold at a month old for more than I have her priced at. So let me know, $2,000.
Is that how they Yelled talk in that. Oklahoma?
You hear Blake Shelton. That's how they talk. He's from Oklahoma. Right? Right.
Okay.
You're next.
Oh, Are I am? Next? Oh, that's right. Sorry, I've just totally lost it. Oh, God. This is from Bethany. This is a first in 5 years. Gay farmhand. Handyman needed. Yep, that's what it said. It said, gay farmhand, handyman needed. Hello, we are looking for a gay farmhand handyman. Feeding, watering, we have horses, much more. Putting up fence, room board brunch, dinner, no hard drugs. No, you don't have to be gay. Thought it would be better because we are a gay couple. Thank you. That's the first. Is this reverse discrimination? If I'm a straight guy and go apply, do they tell me I can't have it?
You know what? I think all they wanted to do was not surprise somebody. You know,
this like, old cowboy show up looking for a job.
This old cowboy shows up and it's like, it's two guys and they're like, so they didn't want to surprise anybody. And I appreciate that they found a nice way to go around saying it. I love it. I love it. Well, the next one is another Oklahoma gem that I found. And hopefully I will continue to provide these as we go on because I am not.
Chad is not. Chad's going to block the Oklahoma Craigslist from you or Facebook.
No, this is the Facebook group. So people actually voluntarily go on and post things like this. And this is, I won't say his name, but somebody. Somebody is looking for someone. Okay, so this guy is apparently posting for a friend. Okay. Kyron is looking for someone to help him get his colt broke. He only has a couple $100. Him or I, neither one care what you charge. We sure as hell don't care what a professional trainer charges or how many world championships they've had in their barn. If you can help him out, even with a kind word of advice, please do. Otherwise, you keep your mouth shut. If you're his neighbor and you're really half the horse person you think you are, you would go help this young man fulfill his dreams.
I see there's 174 comments. They must have been some good ones.
I didn't even read them. I'm like, I can't. You shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth. You're going to do so well in Oklahoma.
Chad's like, people are going to hate you. And then, by the way, just so you know, every single person that I've talked to is like, oh, man, y'all better order your roll bales now because those round bales are going to be gone. I'm like, I don't want round bales. Like, that's what you got to feed round bales. You better order them year ahead of time because they're going to be gone. They get scooped up like you wouldn't believe. Okay. You better get your round bales now. I know you ain't moving out there till next year, but you better get your bales put on in the farm now because I'll tell you what.
Okay, listeners, we're going to start a pool right now. I'm going to run the pool on how long Jamie lasts in Oklahoma before one of two things happen. Somebody just kicks her the hell out, or she voluntarily runs for her life. It's going to be one of two things are going to happen. I'm giving it a year because I know Jamie's kind of stubborn, but I'm not sure that they'll last a year. Your
neighbors. No, you know what I'm going to have to do, Glenn, is I'm going to put this beautiful, like, you know, four board fencing up. It's going to be so nice. And at the top, I'm going to have to put razor wire to keep people out. Don't you come on my farm. How soon until I start talking like that all the time too? Hey, y'all better get off there. Don't you even come on in my gate. Stay on out. You ain't allowed in.
Get off my lawn. I should have that. I should have Clint Eastwood soundfire ready. Off my lawn. But before you move to Oklahoma, I'm getting that one ready.
Get off my lawn. Razor wire. I got little landmines outside the front. Don't you bring a round bale on my property.
By the way, Melissa, I saw your post. She said, y'all are killing me this morning.
I'm sorry. I need to go back to bed. I haven't slept. I'm taking vacation tomorrow.
All right. Next up is, I thought we'd end today with Gemma, who has to be one of our favorites. So let's hear what Gemma has to say.
Her feet done and can't get anyone around here to do them yet. Still
Gemma,
trying.
Start in the middle. Let's start at the beginning.
Hey, it's been a while, but it's Gemma. I have here an exotic Salizdale, not to be confused with the Cylons for all you geeks out there. Mare, filly, together or separate. Now, the owner has written in all caps without a lick of punctuation because she ain't got time for people who say they are going to buy horses but then never do. So, without further ado, no more saving. I saved her for two different people telling others she was sold, trying to be nice. Both still available. I have a 13-year-old Salizdale mare who is supposed to pull a wagon, but she could be rode bareback or with a saddle, and she's very sweet and comes to you in a 30-acre pasture. She loads, loves treats, and loves to be brushed and throws beautiful babies. She also has been exposed to my stud, 27 OBO for mama, price negotiable, as she doesn't need her feet done and can't get anyone around here to do them, yet still trying. The filly is gorgeous, straight, and leads loads and hauls. She is 10 months old, 1300 OBO video coming soon on Mama Call for more info. Thanks for looking 37 on first pair. Woo! Yeah.
Wow. If anybody listens to our show at two or three times the speed, all they heard was bzzz. God, I love Gemma.
You slow it down for really bad ads.
I do love Gemma. I got to get Gemma to fill in for you someday. I need Gemma to hang out with for an hour and a half. Oh, God. Thanks, Gemma. That was fun. Awesome. Good job, guys. Good ads today. And we got to give Jamie a round of applause today. Obviously, thanks. You're geared up for vacation. You're all wired. You're ready to go.
Yeah, because that was really different than most Fridays. Yeah.
No, you were exceptionally on today.
Oh God, I love you guys. Thanks for submitting really bad ads. I appreciate
that
it.
That's really good.
thanks for hanging out with us. It's complete utter nonsense what we do, and for some reason, you are a glutton for punishment. So
that's right.
You're keep still here.
Out.
Appreciate you.
We will be here on Monday. I'll have a different co-host on Monday and Wednesday. Jamie will be back next Friday after. She'll be all suntanned and look beautiful. She'll be enjoying her 86 degrees and perfect weather out there in Hawaii.
You say suntanned. It's like I bathe in like 150 block as sunscreen. I'll be covered in the zinc. I'll be that lady with the white face.
With the white face. Yeah. Well, you have a good time. Have fun out there
Thank
in Hawaii.
You.
And have fun with the family. We'll see you all on Monday. We're out of here.
All right. Spay, neuter, gallant.